minutes whilst we sort to take care. Back over to Duncan.
Good filling there, Jonathan. Thank you very much. Okay, yes, so welcome everybody. So my name's Duncan Hammond, work for Phillips 66. So I lead a team at the refinery that kind of focuses on bringing decarbonisation projects to the refinery. So we work with Emerging Energy Group out of London, out of Houston, kind of picking up on ideas, on kind of general trends, on technology that are coming available, and then we'll look at them at how we would implement them at the refinery, and hopefully get them implemented at the refinery, what we've done with a few. So what I'm going to talk about is really how we'll go through a bit about carbon capture, what we've got planned, but also how we see that kind of like facilitating a lot more other decarbonisation projects, both at the refinery and also around the Humber area. A little bit of background on Phillips 66 then. So predominantly US-based oil and energy company. We've got 10 refineries in the US, one here in the UK, the Humber refinery, and then we have a joint venture in Germany. A question I often get asked is there a link to Route 66 with Phillips 66? And yes, there is a bit of a tenuous link. So doing my little bit of research to answer that question, it was when they were setting up the Phillips Oil Company and they were testing their gasoline, they were testing it on Route 66 on the cars, and the car did 66 miles an hour. So it was an omen that Phillips 66 would carry that brand. So that's why we're branded as we are. But also, we kind of pride ourselves on this energy transition, and we've really been trying to focus in on that. We've transformed one of our refineries in California. Now that's 100% renewable feedstocks. That's finishing off that conversion now and coming online. And really, at the Humber refinery, we're focused on like four key pillars on how we see us decarbonising the refinery, one of which is carbon capture and storage. Hydrogen refuelling is another one. Then we've got our renewable fuels, part of which is sustainable aviation fuel, and we've also got our specialty graphite coat, which goes into electric vehicle batteries. So that's a little bit about Phillips 66, the Humber refinery. As I say, we've been around for 55 years in the area. Hopefully what we'd like to do is continue to adapt, evolve the refinery such that we're there for another 55 years, providing the products and the jobs for those in the area. Touched a bit on this already with general people, just talking about the whole opportunity of the Humber area. It really is key in the decarbonisation strategy for the UK. And with the highest CO2 concentrations in the area. One of the things that I've been kind of like absorbing as I've been getting into this role and learning a lot about decarbonisation and carbon capture and storage is that I very much see parallels with how the North Sea gas industry kind of like came about and how that very much evolved along the whole coast, east coast of the UK. I can see a very similar thing happening with carbon capture and storage, using a lot of those same facilities, but instead of natural gas coming ashore, it will both be coming ashore and we'll be putting CO2 back into the depleted well. So I can see a great vision there. Whether we'll get to quite the 1990s dash for gas that we saw then, it'll be great to think so, but we will see. But again, I'd like to think the Humber area is primed to take advantage of that. And we've kind of like touched on it already. Offshore wind, you know, in 2000, there were two turbines up in Blyth. Now we've got over 2,000 turbines, still expanding. There's no reason why that same evolution can't happen with carbon capture and storage. And we're trying to kind of get that message out there to a lot of people. As Jonathan mentioned, you know, trying to sell the Humber area, trying to get that out there so that other people in the UK, Europe, even around the world are aware of the Humber. We've been doing a lot of work through Future Humber. They've been doing a good bit of work in trying to advocate for that and get that brand out there. And they've got four key values that I think really sum up the Humber area really well. That being revolutionary, kind of like embracing the spirit of the estuary, ever evolving, resourceful, really trying to stress what it means to be a powerhouse in industry, and really working together for change. Real, now that's a key one, real. Open about industry, open about what we do, but also conveying the message that we are there to make change, to do what's right for the environment and improve. And remarkable, being really a standalone beacon for industry and really getting that Humber brand out there. So that's a shameless plug there for Future Humber. Please go to their website, check out those core values. Like I say, we're really wanting to develop that, that Humber brand. So here's artistic license, a vision from my refinery office, looking out across the refinery. And this is where I like to talk about some of the projects that we've kind of like got going, but also what I kind of see for the future in the area. So as I look out at, from my office across the refinery, what I see is carbon capture plants both at the refinery. So as Will has mentioned, we've got our Humber Zero project that we're doing with VPI. That's putting a first-of-a-kind carbon capture plant on our FCC unit. We've also got, further down the track, there will be other carbon capture plants that we'd envisage installing at the refinery. Because as we've mentioned, there are some parts that are hard to abate, and so carbon capture and storage is really the only solution. So we've got several of those processes that we would look to put carbon capture and storage onto, our Humber Zero being the first one. And as I mentioned, that's in the bit of collaboration with VPI, the power station, who have also got plans to put carbon capture and storage on there. And that's really providing carbon capture and storage enabled power and also utilities. They provide a lot of steam and water to the both the refineries in the area. We very much a symbiotic relationship between the three of us. So to have that at the refinery and close by, but then if I look past the refinery, I'll probably also start seeing some blue hydrogen plants, green hydrogen plants, sustainable aviation fuel plants. We've been doing a lot of discussions with people wanting to explore what sustainable aviation fuel plants would look like, what they need, how they would be reprocessing waste in the area. We'd might see plastic and waste pyrolysis plants as well. We've been doing a lot of work. Currently today, we bring in pyrolysis oils from the continent to reprocess at the refinery. And I don't see any reason why we can't have those facilities and processing plants here in the UK, in the Humber area, taking advantage of the low carbon hydrogen and carbon capture and storage. You may recall I talked about we make the raw materials for EV batteries. Currently a lot of that goes to the Far East where it's generated into the battery components. It would be great if that supply chain came to the UK. It's a very energy intensive process to do that, but with carbon capture empowered, enabled power, hydrogen, there's no reason why we can't lower that carbon intensity of that process. As I mentioned, I work a lot with our business development guys, and it's always great to see some of the projects that kind of come across my desk, and we kind of like kick the tires on a few of those projects to see what they're all about. And a lot of the times we see a lot of synergies between what they're doing and how we could help and facilitate that, both at the refinery and in the area. We see how they might need hydrogen in order to fuel the process. We see how they might be generating CO2, and so a carbon capture infrastructure would be beneficial. We see how they generate byproducts that, okay, might not be their primary focus to generate that, so especially in the sustainable aviation fuel world, where they're targeting aviation fuel, but off that, an example, we get bio-naphtha, which we can then reprocess back into the refinery, generate other usable products from it. So we get a lot of ideas from that and generating a lot of close relationships with industry, and I very much see that once we start getting some of this infrastructure in place, those projects, as we've kind of mentioned, will start coming to the area. But we've got some challenges, as we'd expect. Policies and regulations, I think the UK's done a reasonable job getting the right policies and pathways put in place. Okay, the pace of action might not be what we were quite expecting, and we're trying to encourage that, but I understand from where they're coming from. And also, sometimes it takes a little joining up of the dots between several of the policies across all the different government departments. So we'd like to try and raise the bigger picture of what we're trying to achieve here so that people can clearly understand for the greater good of the environment, this is what we're trying to do. So we need to kind of get all these policies to align. We see an example of that being when we're processing waste streams. I suppose, as they say, one man's waste is another man's feedstock. So when we're trying to bring in different waste streams to process at the refinery, it's quite difficult to work way through all that waste regulation that is associated with them. I suppose picking the positives out of the general election, really it's good to see, I think, that they're all broadly aligned on their policies. I'm not expecting any radical changes, just little nuances here and there. Part of me is thankful. It's like, let's get this over and done with now, so that then hopefully we can kind of get the election out of the way the new government established, and then we can push on with these policies. Because that's one message we've been keen to push, is we need to be progressing up these. We need to be progressing on with pace. We don't want 2024 to be a stagnant year where not a lot has really changed. So we need to be kind of like coming out of the traps once this election's over with. And that's the message that we conveyed to Desners earlier in the month when we met with them, to say, understand that you can't talk much about it now, but we need to move on. We've got the CBAM, which is the Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism. That's a really premise to put us on a level playing field with other companies. We're very supportive of that policy. We'd like to see it expanded a bit more into some more of the chemical feedstocks, refinery products, so that that is then kind of putting us all on a level playing field. Because hopefully, as you'll see, that, you know, we believe the Humber Refinery is a key strategic asset for the UK for energy security, and then generating the sustainable aviation fuel, battery coke, really trying to be part of the energy transition. And finally, brings me on to skills. Because as I mentioned, infrastructure is one part of the game, but we also need to have the skills in the area to take advantage of it. We talk a lot about green skills and green jobs. In my view, they're not really green skills or green jobs. They're just skills that people need to have and are in short supply today. I don't think there's much of a difference between a welder that's going to be working on a carbon capture plant or a hydrogen pipeline to a welder that's working on the refinery today. And those skills are in very short supply. So we need to be doing a lot now for training those people, really getting that message out there that those resources are in short supply. There's careers there to be had, and really stressing that message to people that are in schools now so that they're kind of realizing the opportunities. You could almost say that we're a little late to the game, really, because in reality, the people that will be building the first carbon capture plant, blue hydrogen plant, they're already trained and fully utilized on existing work now. So, but there's no reason we can't be setting the seed, generating that next level of talent to come through. So I've talked a lot about kind of like the vision and how I see carbon capture and storage really bringing the infrastructure to the Humber region, such that other projects will come, our projects at the VPI facility and other facilities around the Humber, both on the North Shore and the South Shore. What we really need to do is to get one of them off the ground. I'm pragmatic in that approach. Not everything's not going to happen all at once, but we do really need to push to get one of these projects in the region off the ground, and then I truly believe that the rest will follow. Lots of ideas and technologies out there. Really, deployment of the CCS infrastructure will be key to attracting those to the area. That's basically my messaging for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Duncan. I should have explained before, by the way, we're not taking questions at the moment, but what we will do is we'll bring all of the panelists back on stage at the end of these four presentations, and then we'll have a Q&A session, which is your opportunity to ask questions that you might have of the panelists, or myself for that matter. We've heard about one great example of a project here in the Humber. Later on, we're going to hear about other clusters, which is fantastic. We all work together here across the UK to try and drive industrial decarbonisation. But now we're going to hear about an example of another project in the region, which is around hydrogen, one of the other key tools that you'll have heard about already from Will's presentation around industrial clusters and decarbonisation. So as we rapidly bring up the presentation for Ian, I'm delighted to be able to welcome him to the stage. Ian works for Equinor and is going to talk to us a little bit about the hydrogen plans Equinor have here in the Humber. Over to you, Ian.